Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And my name is Christy. I'm her mom.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our favorite movies and TV shows and give our opinions about them.
There are so many opinions. And of course, we're working on a season two of Bridgerton, where we have many, many, many opinions.
Yes.
So,
and
yeah.
And we are on season two, episode seven, Harmony.
Harmony. Or so they call it. Whatever.
Okay.
I am cynical about, you know, much of this season. So,
yeah.
So I think that's been pretty obvious in all of our podcasts so far, but we do have our usual disclaimers, which are...
Well, first of all, there will be cursing.
Yep.
And also, if you don't want season two of Bridgerton or the books spoiled for you, this is probably not the podcast for you. Go ahead and watch the series, and if you want to read the books first, read the books first, but... That's what we recommend anyway, so that you aren't annoyed at us when we give away plot points, which is the entire purpose of this podcast.
Exactly.
So.
The whole point of the podcast is to talk about the plot or lack thereof.
Yeah.
We also will be sharing our beverages.
Yes, we are.
And so for this episode called Harmony, I came up with a cocktail or found a cocktail in my physical book. It's kind of a variation on a mimosa. It's called the Valencia cocktail. So It has apricot brandy, a little bit of orange juice, and champagne. So because it is way more alcohol than orange juice, I would not call it anything vaguely resembling a mimosa. But it is very, very tasty, and it's got kind of this, you know, balance of fruitiness and sparkliness and all of that.
Awesome. Well,
what are you having?
I'm having a virgin strawberry daiquiri. The virgin part of this is what's like the big thing for this episode, and it's the reason why I chose this.
Nice.
And if you've watched this episode or whatever, you'll find out why this is ironic. But yeah, I just went with the virgin strawberry daiquiri. I mean, I love strawberry. I love frozen slushes and stuff like that, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the YA modification.
Awesome.
And we have a recap for this episode.
Oh yes, the great Netflix recap. Okay.
Alright, let's see what it says. Scandalous rumors swirl around the Bridgertons and the Sharmas. The Queen's ire over Lady Whistledown lands Eloise and Penelope in a quandary.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dang.
I don't know why you expected much else. It's Netflix,
you know,
recap.
I really should know better, but
you should.
No. I know I have all these unrealistic expectations, which might be part of my issue with this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So, the episode starts with the Lady Whistledown voiceover.
Basically, Lady Whistledown just wants an explanation about why the wedding was canceled.
Right. And so, it's interesting because it's obvious that Penelope. I have not really been drinking. I just am having
trouble
speaking.
I've been watching
it's
you.
Sad, right? So,
it's been not a bad day.
Penelope has figured out that the queen is gonna, if she knows too much, is gonna know who it is. Blah blah blah. So she's gonna kind of hide it. So what she does with this Lady Whistledown is she's basically like, it's the queen's fault.
Yeah.
So you
Which
know,
I don't really understand the tactic, to be completely honest, because it's like, that's just going to make the queen more mad, and she's going to want to figure it out more. I don't know what Penelope thought she was doing, but it was not a good idea.
Well, she didn't want to give herself away, I guess.
Well, yeah, but like, you're making her more angry, that will get you in more danger.
yeah, exactly.
Like, what's up with that?
But, you know, it's the queen's fault because she forced this wedding, and then, you know, it fell apart because it was not right, I guess, is the point. So... they then cut to both Antony and Kate in their respective beds.
And they're remembering the kiss.
It's really
awesome. I love it.
Because
you can tell that they're just like, that's all they're thinking about. I mean, like, they're not, and the fact that Antony's not thinking about, oh, yeah, whatever, Edwina, blah, 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 blah. No,
or his family or anything else.
Anything like that, he's thinking of Kate and their kiss in that moment. And you can tell he wants to know what's up with all that kind of stuff. Because now that the engagement's over and the marriage isn't going to happen, they have a shot.
They do have a shot. And again, part of my I'm just going to put this out there. This episode and the next episode, to me, the obstacles here are really rather stupid. Like, you know, at this point, it should be, you know, full
straightforward.
On. Yeah.
I can understand some of the obstacles in this episode in particular, but next episode is just, it kind of pisses me off, but to anyway. A certain extent. Not a lot, but like, a little bit.
Right.
It's so, less annoying than when he wasn't even engaged to Edwina and was just pushing away his feelings for Kate. This at least has a little bit more of, like, what will the town say? Or what would, like, this will spread rumors about, like, if they were...
we're going to get into it.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. So the next thing that happens is that Kate and the Sharmas, they're all supposed to have their baths.
I just wrote down, the Sharmas are taking baths in awkward silence in the same room, all three at once.
I know, it is odd.
They could do it separately.
They have shown that numerous times, that the three of them bathe
together. I think it's nice. I mean, I think that the purpose of that is for them to, like... stay close as a family, that kind of thing. It's not like they're in the same bathtub, but,
no.
Like, I mean,
but
it's more of a thing where it's, like, they could do it elsewhere.
Right, or they could do it at separate times, but that does not happen, or take turns, or whatever,
awkward.
But it's awkward, and Edwina is not speaking at all, and Kate is really kind of hurt by it, so you can see, like,
well,
yeah.
Edwina just leaves and that kind of stuff, and then Lady Mary's like, hey, Kate, use the lily soap.
Right.
It will calm your nerves.
Now, the lily soap is a big deal in the book, and I will tell you, it's a big deal early on, because Antony loves the way she smells.
Yeah, we get that a lot in this episode.
Yeah, right. I mean, this episode
it comes out of
like,
nowhere.
Right, exactly. It's like throughout the book is that you know,
I feel like it should have been early on in this season
as
well
if
they were going to establish it.
It should have, because, you know, again, it's apparently her signature thing is lilies. And,
we'll get to that towards the end of this episode. I have a couple things to say about that. But, like, it makes more sense now that, like, you said it's a big thing in the book and it was lily soap.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with the emphasis they're having on lilac this season, I feel like it would have been more symbolic.
Right, but lily is her scent, so...
Well, exactly. Well, I didn't know that. So
right,
I was just going to be like, why not?
You?
I was going to be like, well, why not lilac? They're putting such an emphasis on lilac being, like, a big flower about his father, a big flower about first love,
well, I mean, okay.
All that kind of stuff. They could have done it.
Can I say this in the book? The flower is hyacinth. And
that's
why hyacinth
is named hyacinth. They should have done that.
Yeah, I know.
That makes more sense.
There are a bunch of things, like, okay, like I said, there are differences and whatever, but the lilies, one of the things that Antony notices, like, when Kate leaves a room or when she's near him and he can't see her, like, there are times
it's
that she's, like,
hiding. It's the scent
of lilies. Right, and he's like, why is that, why am I smelling
yeah,
this?
He doesn't realize that people use soap or put on perfume.
Well, right, so, but it's a very specific scent to her, and that is something that
it's what he associates with her.
Right, exactly.
It's
so
cute.
Yeah, it is.
And I guess they wanted something separate from the lilacs that reminded him of his father and that kind of thing. But
yeah.
Whatever.
So then we cut to the Bridgertons. I mean, it's the siblings.
I love
them
the sibling
so
dynamics. But okay, so basically they're just in the living room and Violet's like, all right, we need to go and do something. We need to like show a united front. We need to do all this. And then and Violet's like, well, where's Antony? He's late. And then Colin
comes
no,
in.
No, Colin says, maybe he's still waiting for Edwina at the altar. I fucking love it.
It's too funny.
It's so good.
Right, and Eloise just does not seem to get why they need to do this unified thing. And it's like, how dense are you, girlfriend? I mean, she just is a little clueless about, like, family and reputation and stuff like that, and yet
she doesn't choose to care about, like, all that kind of stuff, and
she has to change it, but we'll get to that,
she literally just, like, doesn't understand the importance of, like, you are unified as a family, you are backing each other up, you're on each other's side, no matter what, you are a family, and so she doesn't really understand that in this context, and they need to be there if okay, obviously Antony isn't, like, too hurt about this kind of thing, but it does, call into question a lot of reputations within the family
right.
and the others.
Right.
And so it's kind of, like, she needs to understand that they just need to, like, look put together enough. And
right.
she just is not understanding that.
She's not getting it. So she's complaining and whining about that. And then Antony shows up.
Well, she's also like, oh, I'm going to go and do some shopping today. Like, obviously, she's just going to see Theo, which is whatever. But,
right. But
anyway.
Antony shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, we got to go show a united front. Like, a family that's headed by a gentleman, right? Like, I mean, he is very aware. He's always been, like, hyper aware of that appearance thing, his duty and all of those things. And I think he's feeling guilty, like, okay, I've fucked this up, basically. And so, and now we have to have a unified front because I fucked up this time.
Yeah. Well, before that, well, while they're talking about that kind of thing, Bendix, like, well, why did you even, like, stop the wedding and whatever? And then he's just like, well, it's not for anybody to know. It's like, well, but is it something that I can know? And yeah, then I'm like, just like, well, you can tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody, but, like.
I think she is a little bit like, maybe I should tell him, but nah. And, you know, you kind of think maybe they will, like, go off and talk bros at some point, because Benedict has been his buddy in this, which is really sweet, because he was kind of Eloise's buddy in the last season, and he is a little bit still Eloise's buddy, but yeah. He and Anthony's relationship.
He's there for everybody, but yeah. Anthony and Benedict's relationship I just love.
Right. Well, I mean, Benedict and Daphne really weren't, like, that tight, so.
No. Yeah, Benedict's there for everyone but Daphne. Francesca. Well, where the fuck is Francesca? Unified front my ass. She's not there.
Yeah, you're
but we'll get there. Yes. We'll get there.
We are just digressing.
She didn't show up for her own brother's wedding or her sister's last season.
Yeah,
so
we are not getting.
She's
the whole
not a unified front person.
No, but so Eloise is like, I need to go shopping, but she's like leaving. She's like running out the door, and the queen's carriage pulls up.
She's also dragging her maid.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's even like, you know, like her maid's kind of like, we're doing what? Where are we going? What? And then the queen's carriage pulls up and Eloise is like,
oh,
shit.
Well, also, the family's going to promenade.
Right. Right, that's, but Eloise is not. Right, so.
And then the Sharmas are promenading.
Right, so Lady Danbury is giving instructions on, like, this is what we're going to tell people about this whole wedding business, and we're going to keep it private. It's a private matter. We don't need to talk about it. And, you know, there's this discussion of, well, shouldn't we tell them something? It's like, nope. Because, you know, there's going to be enough speculation without it. There's going to be enough rumor without it. You know, people are going to make up whatever they want to. You see the Lady Danbury and the Sharmas walking, and then you see Antony with the family. And I have it. Antony is brooding with the family.
Yep, that's about right.
And they're getting shunned by girls that they're, you know, that he had been, like, sort of vaguely.
Well, that and
like
just like everybody, like they're like, it's a great afternoon, is it not? And it's like, and then they walk away.
Yeah,
and they're just being shunned by everybody.
It's so bad that the Featheringtons.
I wrote this down. The Featheringtons make nothing better.
Right, the Featheringtons taunt them, basically. Yeah. I mean, Lady Featherington comes up and she's like, oh, this is like when, you know, the second jilted, you know, bride kind of thing. We had Colin and Marina, and
the
they're
fact that she brings up Colin and Marina in the first place is so stupid.
Yeah, and like, Colin, you see him, like,
he, like, tenses, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And yeah, and you see Penelope just, like, cowering, just like, oh my god, no!
Stop talking, Mom.
Stop ruining this even more. And then, like, once the Featheringtons leave, Penelope goes up and she apologizes to Violet and to Antony.
Yeah, she's really nice to Antony, and
it's
she's
so,
very
and
sweet.
I think that Antony, like, then sees her in a different light, because I think that Antony just kind of, like, much like everybody else, dismisses Penelope in many ways.
Right.
Where, like, it's just like, oh yeah, she's a Featherington, whatever. But, like, obviously, like, Colin obviously has a great friendship with her and a relationship with her, but Antony finally gets to see, oh yeah, well, Penelope's apologizing. That's really, really sweet of her. She didn't have to do that. Everybody
shut out.
She
went out of her way, yeah.
She went out of her way to do that in opposition to her family, and I think that he really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think he did too. And I think, you know, it kind of helps him get out of that deep, dark brooding, although he looks so cute when he does it. You know, Jonathan Bailey brooding thing. So then we get to, but go back to the Queen and Eloise. And the Queen is like,
you're Lady Whistledown, bitch.
You went to the printers. I know that you left your brother's wedding
to
do
go
this.
To the printers.
And so she's assuming that she's Lady Whistledown, and it's basically a challenge. Like,
and Eloise
back the fuck down, or I'm gonna crush you.
Yeah, Eloise tries to deny it, but the queen gives her an ultimatum, and is like, all right, after 3 days, if you don't admit it or post something or whatever, if you don't like post something in retraction of like what you've said about me or whatever, I will destroy you.
Right.
And your family.
And your family. And that's, again,
that's when Eloise finally gets the fact that it's like what happens with her affects her family.
Right.
And she's not only an individual anymore.
Right.
Regardless, you're an individual person, but in this time period, at this point in, like, all of that stuff, and in her station, what she does affects everybody. And I think she, even like after like Daphne was doing all this stuff and telling her this, she finally understands it for herself.
Well, right, and I will say this, and I don't, you know, this is not a pressure thing in any way, you know, because I consider that all of us are individuals, but as with this time period, if you go way out of bounds, it can reflect on your family even now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will judge the entire group based on...
You were raised this way. Your siblings are going to be the same
as you. Exactly. There are presumptions. There's judgment made. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a lot of what is being reflected here. And Ellie's finally, the light bulb's coming. It's like Doug.
And she's
like,
just
you're so
panicking.
Smart. You're so fucking smart. Really?
And I feel bad. I can't help but feel bad for Eloise because it really isn't her. And so she's just like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, the queen isn't accepting the fact that I'm denying this. Like, I'm trying to tell her just straight up, it's not me, and she's not listening to me. What am I supposed to do?
Good question.
And I do feel bad that she's stuck in that position because I'm glad that she finally understands her actions have consequences. But I feel like I can't help but feel bad that she's like, oh my God, I'm going to ruin the family. Like,
yeah, well, I don't want that to happen, but it is her comeuppance, which, mm-hmm. you know, it needed to happen. So we cut back to the promenade, and the Cowpers, and this is how bitchy they are, I swear, is so fascinating to me because, you know, they don't even respond to pleasantries,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, at least the other people are like, oh, it's good to see you, bye. they don't even bother with that. It's like... Snort. We're not even going to look at you.
And then Lady Danbury and Violet make eye contact, and they're like, fuck, we need to figure this out and regroup.
Right.
And then
so
they all meet
back
at Lady Danbury's house.
Right. And so they're all in, like, the sitting room, and there's this big discussion about...
And Violet's going to be like, let's hold a ball.
Yeah.
Let's provide a united front, and we are going to feed them a story that it was a mutual decision... And that there's no ill will, whatever. And both Auntie and Kate are like, really? Really? We're gonna host a ball right now so that we're going to be under their microscope even more?
Right.
Like, I mean, they think it's a bad idea. I think it's a pretty okay idea.
I think it's a good idea, honestly. I mean, you
as
just,
long
like,
as they have, like, a story to tell and they are able to provide, like, ample evidence for that story.
Right.
Which, in many ways, it wasn't really a mutual decision, but I feel like they are completely capable of making that story believable.
Right. So they're all sitting in this room, and I found the blocking interesting. You know,
that they're sitting next to each other.
Right, so
yeah.
Kate and Anthony are sitting in chairs next to each other. Edwina is like, I just want to get out of this room.
Edwina's like in the corner drinking her tea.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't.
Holy
she's trying
shit.
To. It yeah. was funny because she's as far away from Anthony as possible.
Right. And she actually is like, she really just, I want to get out of this room.
Yeah. And then And Edwina's like, well, they're going to have to make it, like, they're going to have to pretend that they are, they're just going to have to continue their, like, their ruse even further that they don't have feelings for each other. And she's kind of sassy, and I love it.
Right.
But
at the same time, how fucking dumb is that? Right? I mean, this is the point where I think, like, they're just missing.
They should just stop doing the ruse.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Because it's like, look, we all know that there is something going on between Kate and Anthony. The world would accept that on some level. Like,
I feel like that would be... I feel like...
It's better than nothing.
I think that it's actually an interesting idea where, like, if they were to reveal, instead of it just being like, oh, it was a mutual decision, whatever, if they came out with, like, the truth of, like, they were in love... And they wanted to be together.
Right.
I feel like that would be easier to swallow.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd just be like, and also, it's like juicier. Like,
right.
I feel like they would just eat that up and be like, oh my God, did you hear that they did this?
Like, that's whatever. The coolest.
And
yeah.
like, they can speculate all they want about what Kate and Anthony did before they were Edwina and Anthony were supposed to get married. But I feel like it would be like much more interesting. It would keep the town, Tom more occupied.
Yes.
While doing damage. And that would
damage control.
It did
exactly.
make damage control so much easier for them.
Right. But now we're going to do this bullshit.
Well, but also, I feel like Kate, in particular, is so, like, hard on herself about being, like, hurting Edwina so much that she's having a hard time accepting the fact that she's the reason why
that
this
she's
is happening.
Responsible?
Yeah. I mean, she understands that she's responsible and she's taking that responsibility, but she's also, like, wants... I feel like she wants Edwina's blessing or forgiveness before she even tries to do anything with Anthony, which I understand, but also, at this point, if that's going to make a better story and everyone knows, everyone in your immediate circle knows about the real reason, which is brought up by Lady Danbury, it's like, everybody in this room knows exactly why this stopped.
Yeah.
So we might as well just, I feel like instead of putting up another front, you should just go with it.
Right, Lady Danbury doesn't exactly say that, though. She actually is like, you two, you have to stay apart.
Yeah, it's just like, stay on the opposite sides of the room.
Stupid. Because, of course, it's so obvious. Like, the,
if they're going to,
the Corgi comes in.
Yeah.
And this is kind of cute, because Newton comes in, and
he hops up on Anzu, and just be, like, barking, and, yeah, and Kate gets up, and says, like, hey, Newton, stop it. And both Anzu and Kate are, like, standing up, and they're really close, and they kind of, like, have a moment where they're sort of looking at each other. It's heavy breathing. Again. And then he's like, was I truly that blind?
Yes,
I love that line.
Yes, you were. I love that line, too, because, again, you know, like, the rest of it is kind of like, about fucking time, girl.
But I think that and that's another thing, they wouldn't have to keep Anthony and Kate apart at all, and they wouldn't
they
have
just,
to, if they just
yeah.
went with that story.
Truth
instead
matters.
If
people
they just,
know. Yeah.
I understand the idea of putting up a front, but if they're going to, if I feel like it would just be easier on everybody if they just told the truth instead.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Violet, you know, they go to leave, and Antony's, like, ahead of Violet, and Violet's like, hang on, are you going to be able to do this, Antony? Are you going to be able to play this part that we're asking you to play? And he's like, nope, I'm going to be fine. And she's like, well, what about beyond this ball? And you know, are you going to be able to continue with what you're doing? You're not, are you going to even try to get married this season? You made that mm-hmm. announcement that you were, and he's like, I don't have to get married. It's going to be okay. And she's like, are you going to put it on your brother? Is it going to be up to Benedict?
And he's like, I realized I made a mistake by asking Edwina to marry me.
Right, and but then he says something. He's like, I'm quite sure that you and Lady Danbury are going
to,
you know,
make
some plan. They'll make this work out.
Don't put it on them. Just
right.
Admit your feelings to Kate and blah, 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 blah.
Right, I mean, he does not, you know, he does not, it's weird to me because, you know, for Mr. Man of Action, to actually abdicate the responsibility for, like, making a difference with this.
Mr. Duty and all that stuff.
Right,
I think
he's just so hurt, he's a little lost.
Yeah, he definitely is.
And so it's a little sad.
Yeah. And then, so, anyway, then you go to Eloise.
Yeah,
and
Penelope walks in.
And Penelope just kind of walks in and is just like, oh, hello, Bridgertons. And then...
No, this is when Eloise has, like, all of the Lady Whistledowns on her bed.
Oh, that's
her bed.
Oh, yeah,
she's got all the Lady Whistledowns
on
her bed.
The other one is later.
Yes.
But she's on her bed and she's like, I have two copies of all of these. It's not me. I don't know what to do.
If the queen found out, she would
assume it again. And then Penelope finds out about, like, what the queen thinks is going on. And she starts feeling so guilty.
Right. So she is scared, Penelope is, and she goes to the modiste
mm-hmm.
to talk everything over. I mean, the two of them are just sitting there having, like, ruby port or
something.
By the fire. And
they're
she's
trying
like,
to figure out what to do.
What is the answer?
And
the modiste basically tells Penelope, well, you could turn yourself in.
But I also kind of agree with Penelope and what she says in response to that. Like, the response that Penelope gives is like, well, I would just be dismissed immediately as like, oh, it's just a friend protecting her friend.
Because no one takes her seriously.
Well, that too, but I also feel like she could have at least tried to
yeah.
at least do that first and be like, hey, it's me, and then she'd just be like, no, it's not, and then
right.
and then move on to the next option. But
right,
like,
right.
I feel like they could
but
have...
But she skips to the end.
It's, like, I mean, she, would she have been dismissed? Probably, but I feel like the queen would have, if like she presented enough evidence... I feel like the queen would at least investigate.
Right, right. But I made a note, too, and I want to say this. I think, you know, like, we talked about the glow-up for Anthony for this season. Penelope looks really amazingly beautiful in this
She's
episode.
Gorgeous for Goblin.
She is, but, you know, the lighting, they are doing, you know, some different kinds of things with her makeup.
I like her hair.
Her hair looks really good. Yeah, I mean, it's longer. It's a little less tightly curled. It looks really kind of flowy and beautiful.
She looks fantastic.
She does. She looks amazing.
She's gorgeous.
She is, but this episode is really kind of, like, hit me in the face, like, dang, she looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the Modiste says something. It's like, well, you know, it's... These writing things are like clothing. No one would put something out there that is puts themselves in a negative light. And so Penelope gets the idea, like, maybe if I say something negative about Eloise, because that was part of the queen's thing, is like, there's never anything about you in like.
Which is a fair point. However, I think that at this point, with the timing of it, and
yeah.
after the confrontation with the queen, I feel like the queen should have expected Eloise to do that kind of thing if she was Lady Whistledown.
Yeah. No, well... Yeah.
Self-deprecation is pretty easy. Like, I understand, like, the consequences of all of that and whatever, but, like, Eloise could easily have just put something out there about bad about herself so that she would get her off the track, but, like, we'll get to whatever happens later, but, like...
But, yeah.
I'm I feel like that's...
But Penelope latches onto that idea.
Yeah, and but so, she also is feeling very guilty about that, and she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, she's like, I couldn't, she's my best friend, blah, blah, blah.
I'd be ruining her, I'd be ruining her family, and I really don't want to do that. Especially her family as well, it includes Colin, so right, she doesn't want to do that either.
Because Colin. So anyway, we get to Benedict with the artists.
Well, before we move on, when Eloise is explaining stuff to Penelope... Penelope, like, she finds out that she's still been, like, the reason why the queen thinks it's Eloise is because she's been visiting Theo. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I've been visiting Theo, and I know it's selfish, and I know it was a bad idea, and I should have stopped it. And I'm glad.
Dumb.
Well, I'm glad she admits that it was stupid and selfish, and she shouldn't have done it. But then she does it anyway. But then
she's like, she's telling Penelope, I've got to go warn him. And Penelope's like, what is wrong with you?
That's going to make things worse. But, yeah. Like, anyway, that I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
Also, Penelope also promises to maintain the Modiste reputation, because Modiste is trying to go to Paris and do art, like some right. fashion design stuff.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to ruin her life too, which right. I appreciate that she does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that is good. Benedict's
art thing.
Right, and Anthony comes in because he's like, it's up to you now, basically.
Well, it's also a party, but I wrote down, no, this is what I wrote down. Benedict's art thing, but hey, Anthony is there and he's looking uncomfortable.
Right.
And because it's a party, and then
he gets on to Benedict, like, though, you're number two, and number two has to, like, actually step up and like have some kids and do dutiful things too. Because, you know, what if I don't, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Benedict, you know, they do step out, but Benedict's like, we all know about Kate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, don't think that it's just like you and Mom. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also like, hey, you know, whenever I don't like this thing I'm creating, I change my perspective. I look at it differently, and I see if I can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to kind of like nudge Anthony toward like, you can take small action rather than big action and make this work.
Yeah. And I thank God Benedict's there to tell him that, because it's clearly not coming through when Violet's trying to tell him that. But I also feel like Benedict puts it in a specific way that his brother can listen to.
Yeah, but Anthony looks at him, and of course this is totally true. Before Anthony walked in, Benedict had been taking more of the weird Colin T thing that he'd been... So he's a little high.
A little bit, yeah.
And his eyes are kind of dilated and like, woo! And he's like, you're high.
Yeah, basically. It's just, and it's like, a little bit. It's
yeah, it's
fun.
Like, I can't change this. You know? And because he does live in this mental world of absolutes, because that makes Anthony's life simpler. He's got a lot going on. And he's like, look, it just makes it simpler if I just make a decision and move.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to move pretty quickly. And, you know, that it's going to be... subtlety in work, which mm-hmm. is what Benedict's suggesting, but Anthony's kind of like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, can I do that? And so he, you know, he leaves, and he does meditate on it. It's a little bit like Daphne in her season, like, hey, Eloise is that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've got to make it work for me, but it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then we go to where they're going to an art gallery.
Ugh,
and
art opening.
Well, then they see what?
Art opening.
Whatever. And mm-hmm. it's an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Anthony sees, like, the Sharmas, and they're getting out of their carriage, and it's an awkward moment between Anthony and Edwina, just kind of standing there like, okay, well, what are we gonna do now? And then they go inside, and as they're going inside, Anthony, like, sniffs the air behind Kate, and he smells the soap, and I wrote down, Anthony is smelling Kate like a weirdo. And then Lady Danbury's like, what the fuck are you doing? Go inside and stop smelling her and stop being near her. Stop it. That's the whole point of this plan. Now get away.
Yeah, exactly. You're screwing this up. And then Anthony walks with Lady Mary.
I love
it's
that.
It's really kind of, it's about fucking time, in my opinion.
And like, he finally apologizes to Lady Mary.
Right, like, I am so sorry.
He's apologized to everybody except for Lady Mary, and I feel like
right.
it was overdue, and I'm glad they did this.
Right, and Lady Mary, and this is enlightening for Anthony, too. Lady Mary admits, like, after their father died, Lady Mary kind of abdicated to Kate, and it was all up to Kate to manage mm-hmm. things. And, you know, that included finances and everything else, and poor Anthony's like, oh, she's me. She's totally me. And that's part of the reason that I love her so much. I think he
fuck,
really...
I need somebody who understands me, and she understands me completely, but
right.
you're also very stubborn. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And so, Then they cut to Will's club.
And the air comes... Lord Featherington. I always wrote down the air just to make it easier on myself. Jack comes in.
Cousin Jack.
I'm just going to call him Lord Featherington at this point. Whatever. Lord Featherington comes in. They're talking. And he mentions that, oh yeah, I noticed something in the accounts. Yeah, you took out a large sum from Lord Featherington from last season. And you, like, he figures out the stuff with the bet, and, like, he understands that probably something that was under the table and stuff like that wasn't.
Right, he's gonna try to blackmail him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, hell the fuck no.
Yeah, no, and then Will's just like, oh, you bitch, I hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
Then that's that. And
well,
then,
he's trying to shake Will down, and it's just not okay.
Yeah, it's stupid. Don't stop bringing Will into this bullshit. Like, right. Will's fine, just leave him alone.
So, but then we get to Eloise, who has gone to see Theo alone. Oh, my God, you moron.
And then Theo's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
And Theo is right.
And it's like, and then she's like, I had to make sure you were okay. It's like, well, people have been, like, visiting me this morning, like, the Queen's men or whatever have been questioning me all day. You understand how much this is affecting me, right? Like, you understand that I don't have, like, the privileges that you do with the family behind them and money and stuff like that. I don't have all of that behind me. So if this goes even more downhill, I'm ruined. Like, in more ways than you are.
Right. And you know, Eloise is kind of like, but I mean, it's just, she does not even have, like, a good
excuse. She can't, like, she literally can't, because she's finally, it's dawning on her, like, oh, shit.
I've not just screwed up my own life, I've screwed up his. Yeah.
And she cares about him, and she admits that she cares about him.
And he's cute. He's cute,
and you can tell that they have a good thing going, but it's like, he realizes how much this is going to affect both of them, and Eloise is finally understanding how much it's going to affect him, and she wasn't thinking about that.
No, so then we cut back to the art opening, and Kate is looking at nude couple sculptures, because there's a bunch of... And Edwina, this is about sculpture, this opening, apparently.
And Edwina is talking to her, and Edwina has basically decided that happy endings just don't exist.
Which is bullshit.
It's bullshit, but it's also, like, she's trying to be more realistic about her standards, I guess, of, like, what she's going to expect her life to be. Like, I feel like it's healthy to have realistic expectations, but she's being such a pessimist about it that it's like, girl, just because you didn't get this one guy does not mean you were, like, doomed to a lifetime of misery.
Right, go back to the poetry guy.
Yeah, go back to freaking Lovely. Lovely had that poetry on him. He had Byron on hand. Sweet. Just go back to Lovely and he'll have some fun.
He's, like, sweet and stuff like sweetheart. That. I think they would be fine.
They'd be cute.
But they don't even talk about that. Mm-hmm. But that there are other things that maybe in Edwina's future, which, you know, we do like. So, the Kate is kind of like, look... You know, that's not really how life has to be. Mm-hmm. But Edwina is, like, kind of still pissed off. And so she walks off, and Antony's like, he's been kind of, like, scanning and watching. He's like, Kate's alone!
Well, he's also, like, he's on the other side of the statue, so they're still kind of abiding by the rules where they're, like, not necessarily right next to each other. He's just on the other side.
So he's on the other side of the statue, and he's like, look, I've been wanting to talk to you.
And he's like,
we've got to talk about this kiss.
And then she's like, there was no kiss. And I'm just like, bitch, yes, there was.
Stop it! I mean, at this point, I'm kind of like wanting to slap the fuck out of
Kate. It's like the same thing after, like, the engagement when she's talking to him. It's like, you want to talk to me about the weather? Are you kidding? We had a moment. And he's like, no, we didn't. And now she's doing it back. I'm like, bitch, stop. We understand you guys kissed and it meant something to both of you. Just fucking admit it.
Right. And Angie's being so cute. And Kate just walks away from her. And I'm like, oh. That is just sad. Mm-hmm. So then Violet announces to, like, whoever, the Cowpers or somebody, that they're going to be hosting a ball later this week. And, oh, y'all should come. It's going to be us and the Sharmas, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Penelope, who is writing anxiously.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's come up with this idea that she thinks is going to be
writing
great.
The pamphlet and all that stuff.
But she thinks it's going to get both her and Eloise out of stuff, and we shall see how that turns out.
Yes, we will. And then you see Colin.
Right, Lord Featherington is talking to Colin.
About investing in the mines.
Let's talk rubies. Let's talk investing.
And I don't know. It just...
I hate Lord Featherington.
I hate Lord Featherington, too. And I hate... Okay. stuff happens next episode that makes me feel better about this. I'm just going to warn y'all now. It does make me feel better about this kind of, these moments. But this entire time, I'm just like, oh my God, Colin. No.
What is wrong with you?
I understand wanting to broaden your horizons, but this random guy you don't know, like, you're investing in this guy, really?
Right, like a whole chunk of money. And as Colin is leaving, he's talking to Penelope about it.
And he mentions he doesn't want to take her for granted, and he notices that she feels bad.
Right, but before
and
that...
And calls her loyal.
Right, but before that, he's like, hey, don't tell Anthony or anybody that I'm going to invest in this stuff, because they'd be pissy about the money and blah, blah, blah. And Penelope's like, okay, I won't, but I mean, she wants to tell him, like, because she has suspicions. She doesn't know everything.
No, but she has
suspicions. But she has suspicions because she doesn't trust Cousin Jack. I mean, she's kind of like, that doesn't sound right. But Colin specifically asks Penelope not to tell Anthony or to tell Eloise, because Eloise, you know, he assumes they talk about everything about the money. And of course, you know, the money is all family money. It's going to be, like, out of the big pot that Anthony has.
So. Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, like, he's doing this on the sly, this investment, and it looks kind of weird and creepy.
Yeah. Well, then,
Lady Featherington then talks to Lord Featherington about, I told you not to go after the Bridgertons, you know, leave them alone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's this flirtiness, and I have, in all caps, ack!
Ack!
Just stop it!
I hate it.
Oh,
it's
so
gross!
It's so
it's bad. It's bad enough that he's engaged to Prudence. It's even worse that he's flirting with Lady Featherington.
Right, like Prudence's mother. I mean, it's like, okay, that whole Prudence engagement thing is, number one, very unfair to Prudence and her mother's doing. But then this creepy romance, bleh, with, it's so nasty. So nasty. So we cut back to the Bridgertons.
For some reason, I remember why I wrote this down. The next note I have is, where the hell is Francesca? I remember why now. Because they're just in the living room doing whatever. Hyacinth is on the piano.
That's sick.
It's really cute, but I'm just like, Francesca's usually on the piano. Where the hell is Francesca?
Because it's Hyacinth's turn.
She's left in the woods with her orange safety vest.
Anyway. She's been shot. Things have happened to Francesca.
Anyway, Eloise. Trauma. And Penelope comes in and is like, hello, Bridgertons. And then Eloise is like, come with me.
And Eloise is like opening windows. And
she's basically like, I'm planning on confessing and printing a fake paper to give the queen what she wants.
Right.
Which, honestly, not a bad idea, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like she just wants to, like, keep her family out of this and make the queen happy. But, like, again, and Penelope brings up this point, what if the real Lady Whistledown posts and it's, like, completely different or whatever? Or you post on the same day and people will be able to tell. And what if Lady Whistledown finds out about this? They'll probably mention a counterfeit paper in their next thing. Like, there are a lot of things that can go wrong with this.
Right. Right. And she is right about this. Like, I don't think Eloise could do a good
imitation. She could try, but it wouldn't be the same. And also, she wouldn't have anything else to say other than stuff about the queen and stuff like that. And she wouldn't have all the extra details that Lady Whistledown puts in because she's not observing that kind of thing.
Right. She's busy off with Theo.
Yeah. And then, I also feel like Eloise would want to, like, make Theo not a thing in it and, like, try to cover up for him. Yeah, I feel like she'd be too obvious. But also, basically, Eloise says she wants the real Lady Whistledown to pay for her crimes. That's the way she puts it.
Right. Like,
and then you have Penelope looking at her like, oh, God.
Oh, please make it stop, right? Yeah, and so, you know, and
Eloise also calls her a loyal friend.
Right.
Because in
the
span of, like, 4 minutes, you have two different people calling her, two different Bridgertons, her best friends, telling her how loyal she is.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, it's really a burden on Penelope's life, just everything. Just, like, she's just, oh my God.
Yeah, she's stricken. She really is. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of that going on. Anthony, actually, earlier in the scene, was talking about this stupid ball. And I guess Violet has decided, and this is where the title of the episode comes from, it's going to be the Harmony Ball.
You
and
want
it's
a different
like,
theme?
This is a farce.
No, I think that somebody says, you want to change the theme? Like, I think maybe Benedict says, are you sure you don't want to change the theme? He says it's a farce. Yeah.
So then there's ball preparation going on.
I love the gowns. All of the gowns this ball.
The
every
gowns
single
are
one of them
they really
are gorgeous.
Right. And so, and the ball, you know, they're going down to like start the ball at Bridgerton House, and no one is there.
Yeah, nobody's there.
No one's there. And so it's kind of like, gee, we dressed up and no one came.
And then Antony has, this is so cute. Let me just go ahead and say this little part right here. Antony wants them to go ahead and dance.
Yeah.
And he calls for Hyacinth.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, Hyacinth. And she's like on the banister, like upstairs. And she's like, yeah. And Gregory's right there. They're ready to go. They're just like, yeah, what is it? They're not dressed up for a ball, but they are dressed up in general. And they're just like, yeah, what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all waiting.
Projections are ready.
Because they're never a part of this pathway because they're not out in the seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Antony, and he's just like, come dance with me. And I love that Hyacinth is going to dance.
And Hyacinth comes down. She's like,
no,
skipping.
It's even better. It's even better. Because Gregory is dancing with Lady Danbury.
And Lady Danbury's like, I want to see what your dance lessons have taught
and
you.
And Eloise is like, he's definitely better than me. And I love it. It's so,
so cute.
And the two kids like run down the stairs and Hyacinth is next to Antony. And Gregory's
so
next to Lady
sweet.
Danbury. And everybody's holding hands and they're going to do a little like
country
little dance.
They call it a country dance. And I guess that is a specialized kind of whatever step that they do.
And they're all
so
just dancing.
Cute.
And then I also, again, I wrote down, seriously.
Where is
No, I wrote down, seriously, where the fuck is Francesca? Because,
this is a
whole
nice
United
question.
Front bullshit, like, where the fuck is she?
Yeah, but they're clearly having fun as a
it's
family.
So cute.
And Kate and Antony
couple
off at one point.
Yeah, they couple off, and Edwina sees a little bit of it, but she's kind of like, oh.
Hurt a little bit.
She's hurt a little bit. Not as much as before, I don't think. Well, no, she is. Never mind. But, they're dancing,
but Kate
and it's really cute.
So cute. They're
and
happy.
Also, there's also a moment where I think Kate and Violet pair off for a second, and it's really funny, and everybody's just laughing and having so much fun, and it's adorable.
It
and I think
really
I think Benedict and Eloise are a pair at one point.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It is the advantage of a big family, right?
And you can see how close all of them are, and you get to see the Sharmas be integrated into the this and it's and they're having tons of fun and they get to see how this is
right
and
right.
Antony and Edwina gets a little uncomfortable and then they find out Lady Whistledown has come out and has bashed Eloise and that is why no one is there
and Eloise
because people at the art gallery apparently they were swallowing the story of it was a mutual decision
right
but now that Eloise has been bashed by Lady Whistledown nobody's come
right and so Lady Whistledown basically at whatever it is that it specifically says Eloise is going unchaperoned to political meetings and the Featheringtons are like
and alone with a guy
right and Eloise is just like oh my god
and she runs away crying
right the Featheringtons are triumphant in this though
and Penelope feels so guilty.
Yeah.
She's crying next to her fire and like really dramatically like just
yeah, it's very sad. But Lord Featherington Lady Featherington says to Lord Featherington, "Oh, you can add Colin to your list of investors now. We can just crush them."
Oh
basically.
God.
I mean, it is
it's
such
horrible.
A disgusting approach to things.
And then and then Kate's like, "All right, I guess we're going home now." And Edwina is like, "Don't make like they say a couple things and then Edwina is like, Don't make me seem like I'm being cruel here. You at least I'm kind-hearted, unlike you or whatever." And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, where did this come from? We were just dancing and having fun a second ago.
Yeah, I mean, she. But I guess what it is that she's been so
manipulated all the time that she feels like whenever Kate says anything to her, she can't trust her anymore.
Well, right, but she. I think she feels that, and it's not just like manipulation for Edwina's benefit. It's manipulation for Kate and the family.
Yeah, for Kate's benefit.
Right, and so it
maybe
like
she wanted her to get close enough to the Viscount that she could take him for herself. That kind of thing, just random stuff that like she because she never felt like she knew the truth.
Yeah.
About anything, and Kate's not being honest with herself at all, and so she feels even more like she can't trust her, because if Kate can't trust herself, she can't trust Edwina can't trust her.
Right, so when the Lady Whistledown came out, Antony's like, holy fuck, and he takes off.
And then Kate also leaves after Edwina does that stuff, and Kate goes to the gazebo!
Where Antony
happens like
to be!
How would you like to be inside and outside all at once?
At a gazebo, exactly. So then Kate accuses Antony of a lack of self-knowledge, but at this point, and it's really very interesting, in the context of this conversation, it's Kate who is
very unaware of herself.
Yeah, she is she's in self-denial in a big way. And, you know, Angie is actually saying, he's like, I've never known anyone like you. The way I'm behaving is because I don't
know what to do.
What to do with you. You know, like, I don't know how to deal with the feeling.
When I'm around you.
Right. Because you're challenging, like, everything about me.
It's a great conversation, and I'm glad they have it. And it's like, why don't you just listen to me? It's like, I don't have to listen to you. I'm never going to listen to you. Like,
you don't get to tell me what to do.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. It comes back later. But and it's a great speech by Anthony about how he feels, like, consumed by Kate. But also, I wrote down, you burn for each other? Well, he breathes for Kate.
Yeah, he's like, he says something about her scent in there, too. I'm like, yeah.
Well, okay, no. And, like, I wrote down, stop smelling her. And then... they're right next to each other, and he's just like, that scent has consumed me since I met you. And so I wrote down, she's been using the soap to calm her nerves since coming to London. Since she's come to London, which I find very funny.
Yeah,
but they realize that they understand each other,
right?
Like, because they know that they would do anything for their families, but they're also like, we should just be selfish.
Right and Anthony actually says something. It's like, you know, we've been doing everything for our families, why don't we stop for a moment and do something for ourselves
and make ourselves feel better, regardless of what's going on around us. We just need to do something for ourselves.
Right. It's about freaking time. And Angie, then, like, they start kissing, and he's like, he's like,
you need to leave. You need to go now.
I'm not taking orders.
Yeah, she's like, what did I tell you about you and your orders? And then they start making out. And then she starts, like, moaning in pleasure, and then he's like, he stops and is like, I should stop. And then she's just like, don't stop. And I'm like, don't stop.
Yeah, she takes orders from him.
He takes orders from her.
Sorry.
And I was like, I wrote down, they finally do it.
Yes. Well, and they go, like, they go all the way. Yeah. Which is interesting because
see more of Kate on a pillow than anything else, but I mean, the undressing from the, like, period, like, drama kind of thing, undressing each other, like, there's so many layers.
Yes.
It's so funny.
And you're
I love her undergarments, though. To be fair, I love, like, the camisole and the shorts.
That's really, like, Victoria's Secret as opposed to, like, something you would have seen.
No, but it's pretty. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's because everything she has on is in this kind of, like, purple color, and so it's, like, little tat pants and stuff. It's really cute. And I agree.
Also, how does her hair get down?
Yeah, how does her get down with those pins?
Like, she has
everywhere.
All those pins and stuff like that, and then another shot, her, like, hair is in front of her face. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. No, there are a lot of continuity issues with that, but it is lovely. They have sex. It is amazing.
And then Anthony wakes up, and there are, like, droplets on his face. It's starting to rain, and then Kate's not there. She bailed.
Yeah, she bailed. But, you know, I guess, like, Gazebo looks, like, uncomfortable,
no,
too.
It's, like, cement stairs, a tree, and now cement gazebos.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wrote down, naturally, it's raining.
Hey, you're in England. It's a thing.
And then you see Kate back at home, just, like...
I want to back up just a little bit. Fine. We could have used a lot more of this season.
It took until episode 7.
But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So Kay is gone by the morning. Rain comes. She's in her room, and she's, like, panting and breathing heavily. And, you know,
also in a nightgown?
Yeah, exactly. Like, she ran back in a...
My theory is that she put on her dress and then took all of the pins that were scattered across the ground.
Because they aren't there with Angie.
Not there anymore. And then ran home. Not a carriage, not a horse. Ran home.
Well, I mean, the living is close by. They're staying at Lady Danbury's.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, well...
I don't know how close by that is. But anyway... Anthony... Does he ride? But he rides there. Never mind.
I don't know.
She just ran.
I got nothing.
She was in distress. She ran. And so she gets in her room. She changes into a nightgown. And then she starts realizing about that stuff. She gets in. And she's just like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And then you see extra shots from the scene that you didn't see in the first part.
Exactly.
And then there's this one shot of Jonathan Bailey peeking out from between her legs that just, like, made me laugh so hard. Because it just looks so funny to me. Like, you just see his eyes just kind of like, ooh. And then,
do we have to talk about this? Really?
It was just really funny to me.
Whatever. Okay, fine.
Anyway, you see Anthony, and he's getting the ring box, and he's going to propose.
And he goes over there. He's wet. I mean, his hair is, like,
he's plastered. Wet. Wet.
Yes, and he gets over there, and she's not there.
She's left.
And
she's on horseback.
Riding in the thunderstorm with bad green screen.
Because that's normal. Like, stop.
No!
Like, first of all, if you're going to, like... First of all, I have to wonder, where the fuck is she going? Like, what are you gonna do? You're not gonna have a boat.
You're going to get wet. That's
not what I mean. Where's her destination?
She doesn't have a destination when she rides in the morning. She's just out.
I don't know. No, the way that I like interpreted this is that she's riding away, like going to like the docks.
To think. It's like one of those Marianne walking in the rain. Hello, do you not know this from Sense and Sensibility?
I know it, but like it's stupid, and I feel like it's so dumb.
Stupid. Anyway, that's not the point.
Anyway, I was just like, I don't know where she's going, but why this second? Like, why in the rain?
Because I must get away. It's like, well, I mean, it's also like Princess Margaret in The Crown. Oh my God!
I got something really dramatic. Let's go horseback riding.
Exactly. It's a good answer.
Antony goes after her and tries to stop her. She's trying to make the jump that she did at the very beginning of the season. That she made easily, but it's raining, the horse gets spooked, and he bucks her off, and she falls, and she hits her head on a rock.
It's actually rearing, but that's okay.
Whatever. I don't ride
horses. She hits her head on a rock, and she carries her home.
No, I also noticed he's yelling, like, Miss Sharma, Miss Sharma, and then once it rears, he yells Kate. Not Miss Sharma anymore.
Well, about fucking time. So
at this point,
Kate. It's like it should have been Kate for a while now.
It should.
So Antony then starts carrying her and trying to get her home.
Yes,
and all that stuff, and he is just like, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, what was your best part?
My best part, I have two.
Okay.
Them finally doing it, and I have three. Them finally doing it, the speeches before they do it, and the ball.
Okay.
The ball is adorable, and I love it.
It's interesting, because my best part, of course, is the sex, finally. But it's interesting because you say that there are speeches before it. I thought that was the stupidest part of this whole thing. Their stupid argument. It's like, oh, you vexed me. It's like, stop it.
I feel like for me, it's more just like, I like it when they're finally being honest about how they feel.
Antony's being honest. She is
not. No, I'm talking about his speech.
Right. Oh, his speech is great.
I'm not talking about her speech.
Dumb.
Her being in denial is not the best part for me. It's Antony being honest with her finally.
Right. I mean, the fact that she's arguing about it seems really dumb to me. But, okay. So, what was your worst part?
I have two. Mm. The Featheringtons. Because naturally they're on this list. It's just an automatically.
It's a given.
And then Kate on horseback being an idiot.
That's an excellent
point. Well, Kate being an idiot in general and not being honest with herself and with Antony, and then leaving him right after sex, and then...
Yeah, I mean, right.
And then, like, her just trying to run away from her problems all the time, it really is pissing me off, especially after he's been honest with you.
Right.
Like, there's another... We'll talk about it next episode, but she... Her entire thing is that she's in denial about a lot of things, but once he gives that kind of speech, like, you can't deny the fact that he has feelings for you.
Right,
anymore.
What she should be saying is, then marry me. Then just do it. You know, I mean, that to me, if you feel this way and I feel this way, let's just do it.
That's what should have happened a long time ago.
Right, I know.
In my different version of how this season would go, they would have been married forever ago.
Right, exactly. And I'm with you on that.
Married on the spot in the first scene. But I feel like the thing is...
It's not that simple.
I feel like the whole thing with Kate just being like... It's okay for her to be in denial about her feelings... But when she's being in denial about her feelings and giving the reasoning that he doesn't feel the same way towards her after that kind of speech, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
She clearly knows, and he has articulated to her that how much she means to him.
Right.
And so, if he hadn't had that kind of speech and they just kind of did it and whatever, like, that's one thing.
Right. I mean,
but he's given you many speeches about how he feels about you, like, so many, and they're great.
Right. And she's just ignoring him.
And she's just, like, in denial every single time. I'm like, girl... If there's no denying that he's in love with you. You can tell by the way he speaks to you and how he behaves around you. Yes. He smells you, girl. He loves you. He's like a little puppy.
This is not a 16 candles kind of smelling you. It's like, you know, like, oh my God, he's overwhelmed, you know. Like,
no, yeah.
He smelled me.
Whatever.
Okay.
I think those are my worst parts. What about you?
My worst part, aside from the stupid Kate speech before the sex, like, because I really just am like, how dumb are you? But was all the Eloise shit. Like, really? Yeah, I was really pissed off with Eloise, particularly in how she deals with Theo. It's like, I really feel like she just is dishonest with a whole lot of people about a whole lot of things. And I know it is part of her growth and that she needs to, like, needs this denial period to get to where she needs to be, but it's kind of like, oh my god, just like get on with it kind of thing.
I feel like the thing with that is that I think I didn't mind the Eloise Theo thing in this episode particular. Well, I hated that she went to look for him even yes. after like Penelope has told her multiple times and has been correct every time not to go and see him because that will raise
Make
more
it
suspicion.
Worse.
And but like I like the fact that Theo made her tried to open her eyes to the fact that she needs to just stop creating more trouble by doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they had that conversation because on top of that and everything else that's going on with her having to accept responsibility for what she's done, that really added to that. And I like that she's finally seeing some consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I think it's necessary. I feel like it's being dragged out a little too long maybe. But again, part of me is kind of like this whole Eloise arc has gone on for far too long for someone as intelligent. And I'm kind of like where the housemaid was in the last season. Like, I thought you were the smart one. It's like, come on. You know,
you're not acting very smart.
No. And of course, anything she's involving the Fredericians is like,
hey,
part of
she's
an
not street smart. She's
she is
book
so
smart.
Not street smart. She is like way.
She's book smart. She doesn't understand it's her and Daphne being polar opposites. Yeah. Daphne knows how to play the game, how society works and all that stuff and the repercussions of her actions and how that can affect everyone else. Eloise, on the other hand, thinks that just nurturing her mind in one way is what makes her smart. Yeah. Whereas she could be more well-rounded. And obviously right. Daphne isn't as intelligent.
Right.
She's wiser, I think.
I think Daphne's really way smarter than anyone gives her credit for.
No, I mean, smarter in a different way. She's not necessarily, yeah, I'm sure she reads plenty of books and stuff like that, and she's intelligent. However, Eloise does nothing but read books and keeps her mind very closed while Daphne tries to open up her mind. And I feel like that's the biggest difference, and I feel like that's what makes me so upset with
Eloise.
That is
a really excellent point.
Because she never has, an open mind about stuff, whereas Daphne wants to open herself up to these new experiences. She actually, instead of just trying to, read a book about something, she actually asks questions of people because she knows how to do that. Obviously, Eloise does ask questions, but it's usually more...
She's not listening.
She doesn't listen to the answers when they don't suit her purposes.
Right.
And it really pisses me off. Yeah. And whenever somebody tries to tell her something, Penelope constantly is trying to tell her, hey, maybe don't visit Theo or make it that obvious, or maybe, do something else, maybe write letters if you really want to, but maybe just don't visit each other and make it so obvious because you guys can be seen.
Well, right, and I think that that's one of those things, I'm really glad you
brought
it up.
Or at least go chaperoned.
Right, you brought it up in a really interesting way. So the street smarts versus book smarts thing, and I think there is a lot of that dichotomy in real life, too. You have
Absolutely.
A whole lot of people who have one and not the other, or value one over the other.
I feel like Eloise values book smarts over street smarts, whereas, you to be a more well-rounded person and open-minded person, I feel like you have to have both.
Right, but I think part of why Theo was such a big deal to her is here is somebody who has the street smarts that he has the credentials for, right? Penelope has street smarts. As you mentioned, Daphne has street smarts in their milieu, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
Within their station. Theo has a different kind of street smarts.
Right, and so she's
kind of
bad boy. He's not a bad boy. Not a bad boy at all.
I mean, I think
we can talk about the Duke. Simon's kind of a bad boy.
He is, but he's
for sure a bad boy.
But I think the thing is, Theo did present a different perspective to a certain extent, but she
values that because it is so different.
But she also
from
wants
hers.
To change it.
Yeah.
Because the way that she put it is hey, I have a couple of edits for you, but I feel one thing that could have made that dynamic better seeing more of them exchanging their opinions instead of her trying to change his.
Yeah.
And more being like, I want to, this is the way I see something. He replies with the way he sees something. And
but
then
that
they
involves
kind of like
being open-minded, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I feel like that's the thing with Eloise. She just isn't that open-minded and it kind of makes me mad.
No.
Anyway, but she's having to open her eyes right now about how she has all these consequences to these actions that she has been doing without thought or without care.
So really, overall, for this episode, my biggest negative is the Featheringtons, because, oh my god, it's bullshit.
There isn't them. Oh yeah, there is some stuff with the Featheringtons in this episode
just
that really makes me mad.
Like
Lord Featherington blackmailing Will, and him bringing Colin into this.
No.
And then the flirting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, the flirting is so sickening.
What do you give it overall?
I actually gave this an A-, which, you know, it's, I think a lot of it is I had been waiting for so long for this to get, you know, the Kate Manting, the main story, to get to where it more or less needed to be. Now, I have mentioned that there was no premarital sex in the book, which there isn't, but that realization of the emotion, I think, is, and especially from Antony's perspective, because I think he has had a huge character arc in this season, which is lovely. And he's done it so well. Jonathan Bailey, I think, portrayed that beautifully. Kate, I liked Kate much better in the books, and I think that's really my biggest frustration.
I feel like Kate's just bugging me about the fact that she's still in denial
all
of these obstacles are now out of the way for the most part.
Right, she's dishonest about it.
She's being dishonest, whereas Angie's being open about it, and she needs to stop.
Yes.
And that's what next episode's for, but like, it takes so long for this to happen that it really makes me mad, and we're out of time. And like, there's one episode left, y'all. Like, this is happening now?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Daphne and Simon were having sex all last season, and they kind of got into marital issues, but that's...
Right, but
then they were still having sex during the marital issues. Like, we didn't have any of that. They had a fucking sex montage. We got jack shit.
Montage, damn it.
We got jack shit. We got one sex scene. One. And they're like the perfect couple to do this with. You could have so many sex montages.
Yeah, and yeah.
And you got fucking Jonathan Bailey doing that, and you got the beautiful actress who's playing Kate, and
I can't remember her name, and she's lovely.
And she has such great chemistry with him,
and
it's beautiful, and they wasted it.
They
didn't kiss until last episode, mother.
I know!
It took that long. They had just been breathing on each other in the Lily soap. It's bullshit! It makes me mad!
So how did you grade this episode, Jen?
I gave it an A-, but... Okay, here's the thing. I originally gave it a B+, but after talking about this, I do agree it's an A- for me.
Right. And, you know,
I do like these last two episodes. I really do. They finally get shit going. And like much
finally.
Like last episode, I really liked last episode as well, because things were out in the open and being honest with people.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, I feel like they have... You know, created like stupid obstacles in this season that really and dragged them out.
Yeah,
which,
I think
again,
the dragging them out is the problem for me.
The
obstacles are fair. Like, he was courting Edwina, but then he got engaged to her for no reason.
Ugh.
And then that whole thing lasted two episodes too long. And that whole thing. And I understand the, like, if it was an obstacle, whereas, like, if there was, like, rumors about Kate and Antony being a thing, if like they were seen kissing or something like that, and that came out, like that would be one thing, and that would be like a whole thing with like Kate, like they have to face it, like they're being forced to face it, but like that wasn't a thing, so they could have just been honest,
and yet we didn't have that. So this is my big hang up for the season, but I do, there are some really good things in it, and going back and listening to like our podcast and
we listen to it too, y'all.
So we do, and I feel like, you know, I was unfair in some of the episodes a little bit. I think we might need to do like a recap of the whole Bridgerton thing, maybe in the next episode. Like, I mean, when we get through everything, just, you know, talk about what do you think about this and where we think it should go.
What do you mean where it should go?
Like,
in the future.
Yes.
Oh, I was about to say, like, in a ranking of two. And
no!
I'm like, I don't get it. Like, we can talk about that, too. Like,
yeah.
If we preferred this season to last season. But, like, I think that your opinion is obvious, but mine might be a little more morally gray. But I feel like the thing about this season that maybe we've been... I'm glad that I've been really enjoying this rewatch. I've been seeing a lot of things I didn't before.
Right, me too.
And I initially, like, was just so fed up with Eloise that this entire season, but I actually kind of like the way that she's finally, like... Like, there were certain parts, especially next episode, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there were certain parts of next episode that when I, upon first watch, that I just despised. But, like, and I'll mention that next episode when we get to it, but it's, like, seeing it again, I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, thinking about it in a specific way and not in the way that I think it should be, but, like, the way that it is and the way that they did lay things out, it makes a lot of sense for certain characters to act this way.
Right.
Like, with Penelope, like, exposing Eloise, yeah, it sucks, but she was doing what she thought was the best at the time. And honestly, if they didn't, if Lady Fe- not Lady Featherington, I almost always say Lady Featherington, and I mean Lady Whistledown, but, with Lady Whistledown, if Lady Whistledown was somebody other than Penelope and this happened, Eloise just would have been screwed. Like, she would have just... It would have been fucked. Like, nothing good would have come out of it.
True.
Whereas with Penelope setting certain things up... She doesn't dead name Theo, which I love. I love that she's not like, oh, Mr. Theo Sharp is being unsupervised with Eloise Bridgerton.
Yeah.
I'm glad she doesn't name Theo. Yeah. Because she doesn't want to hurt Theo. Like,
right. Now she's
regardless
actually...
of how he feels about them meeting up, she doesn't want to hurt the guy.
Right.
And she doesn't... And she knows that it would hurt Eloise if he was hurt as well. Yeah. She can see how much she cares about Theo, even if she's being stupid about how seeing him unsupervised. But I think the thing is that, like, you get to see both sides of how they feel about the situation. Eloise is obviously heartbroken, whereas Penelope also is heartbroken, but she feels like she did the best she could. Yeah. And I think so, too. I think she did the best she could under the circumstances. I think she could have confessed to the queen first and see if it worked out. But
yeah, that was an option that was available to her. But anyway,
she doesn't want to be found out either, so whatever.
Yeah, and she wants to keep writing. So I think that is, you know, that's
because that's what she gets a lot of joy out of.
Right. It's part of who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have other outlets.
She doesn't. And nobody, like... Oh, we'll talk about it next episode. I'm so excited for next episode.
I am too, actually. So we are really looking forward to talking about the season finale.
Season 2, episode 8, The Viscount Who Loved Me.
Which is the name of the book.
Yes,
so, of course, we will be excited for you to join us. And cheers!